Hello, this is Blair Stanislao with the Happy Lion Center. Welcome to our podcast, Mystical and Infamous, where we have playful and easy conversations about anything mystical, getting to the heart of all things strange and weird. Join us in a bit of magical tomfoolery, spreading the alchemy of love and light. And now, we invite you to enjoy the show.
My daughter and I went to go see a movie last night, and I was going to ask if you had seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is, I think, like a year and a half old. You should see that one.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Okay, really? And you're about my ages, so I knew I wanted to see it when I saw the previews, but I knew who, like, one of them was in there. But we sat down, and I think I was, like, looking at something on, you know, with my stuff that I had with me, and all of a sudden I hear this voice, and I was like, oh my gosh, is that Data? Meaning from the Goonies, the little Asian kid. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just instantly I could hear his voice, and I love that. I love him. And I do honestly love Asian film. Like, I don't know why. I just do.
He was in the Loki series, the Marvel Loki series, the more recent one.
Oh, okay. Well, then that'll give me a reason to watch it. I didn't watch all those. I do like the Marvel stuff, but I sometimes it's like too much. And that's a good example of being really dramatic, right? So Everything Everywhere All at Once is this movie that presents, and I was just really excited about it. I mean, yes, it's a fun movie. You know, I think at some point I reached a stage in life where I realized, like, honestly, the first one was the Lego movie. I watched the Lego movie, and all I could think was, how old is this person? Because I had come out of teaching relatively recently, and, you know, yeah, they have different mindsets. They're a younger generation. They just think differently. So their humor is different, and just everything that they do, it just has, like, a different twist to it. And I thought to myself in there, these people can't be older than 30. They can't be. So I looked it up. Yeah, they were. And Everything Everywhere All at Once is just like that too. Like, immediately I was like, this is so awesome, and I need to know who made it. But the thing that was the coolest to me is that it really is like these, like you were talking about, being kind of like, I'm not going to say foretelling, but you said it better, but basically it's a glimpse to new ideas that aren't necessarily practiced in reality, but they are part of, I guess you could say, true existence.
Like this. Well, we believe they're not possible, but they're already showing us it's possible. Because exactly. We've already taken the idea, if we can put it into this format in a movie, who's to say we couldn't do that in real life? Because Absolutely. That's really how it all happens. So that every time I see those pieces where it's like, okay, this doesn't exist, it's not real. Yeah. We're taught to believe it's not, but I already know it's happened. It's already out there. They're just showing you as if it's make-believe.
Yeah, I think, you know, I didn't know that when I was a child. I mean, this will definitely date my age, but, you know, I was just mesmerized at the Dark Crystal and the Never-Ending Story. And they're not that far off. I mean, through time, I was like, well, the Nothing is a really great name for that, you know? And anyways, this is one of those. And so what it does is it presents, so I'm going to give a spoiler. I'll try to put that on the thing. But basically what this story is that it shows that we all have different versions of ourselves. And they say in this movie, each version of yourself has different skills, which we know is really not that much different than, quote, reality, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so they have to do this really weird thing to kind of jolt themselves to access that part of themselves in the other reality. And so she goes out and she uses the skills that they have in the other dimensions. And then that helps her to succeed in whatever she's trying to do here, which is pretty awesome, right?
Like, that's my gosh. Like, it sounds like a movie I'm going to cry because I know it's real. And I feel like that's exactly where I've been in my life in the last year or more.
Yeah.
Where I know that there's a thread through all time and space. And so whether you want to pull in Marvel and they keep showing us time loops or the multiverse in Spider-Man or the Loki timelines, it's like every time I see those, I'm like, that's what we're working with. Like, that's what we're in. And if we can see it in the movie, then we're bringing it into consciousness to remember that it's real. Like, okay, we can do these things.
This new movie, I have to tell you, I just went because my daughter and I thought it sounded like an okay movie. And we were just going to have a good time. So we go to this movie. And now I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. Oh, it's Argyle.
So maybe I should see that.
Well, it's an author.
Okay.
And it's really fun the way they kind of play, you know, like in movies where they flash it to this other thing that shows what the person is seeing. So she kind of flashes in between the what's happening in reality in her physical world and then what is like going on in her head. And it's just, it's hilarious. It's fun. It's, of course, it's over the top like a movie or whatever. But what I find really, really funny that my daughter definitely didn't get was they have lines in there. And they're trying to help her to remember that she really is like this CIA agent, okay? And that's why she can write these stories. But as they're trying to remind her that or help her to recall that, they say things like, you can do that because that's who you really are, right? Like, it's just phrases that we hear and we do this kind of work all the time. And I just adore that it's out there in the mainstream. Like you're saying, it's like a little bit of a bite. Take a bite of this and see if you can swallow that. I mean, you know, even my husband loves Star Wars. Every single day it's on the TV in some form or another. And I think it's kind of funny because, you know, yeah, I get what the Force is. The Force is actually real.
Yes. And what I really come to believe, the things that we create through story, writing a book, putting it into a movie, we think that we just make it up. Mm-hmm. I really feel and believe it is your past lives. It is what you've done before. It is what you go and dream about. And so it's all these things that we just think like, I just made this up. I don't know where I came up from. But if you can really recall that there is this part of you that is there. And when we look at past lives and future lives are all right here, right now, this is the part of you that's living that experience right now, which already like blows your mind and is like hard to make sense of.
It is hard.
And yet then the Force itself could also plant and drop in these specific pieces for you to work on to create something, whether it is in movie or actually physical form. And then you hear that this is why multiple people are working on these same things. Uh-huh. And how did they know? Because consciousness is evolving and wanting us to shift, and anything's possible.
Yeah. It's really exciting. So I want to touch a little bit, you know, you mentioned that you'd had hypnosis before, and yes, I do hypnosis, but the thing that seems to be coming to the forefront, even with that movie, right, is this pulling on different dimensions of ourselves or different aspects of ourselves. And I don't think we were just talking about a friend of yours who does, what do you say, biofield wooding?
Tuning with tuning forks.
Okay. Okay. So I did something with somebody was biofield. I think it was
just in the biofield. Right? Maybe not actually using tuning fork sounds. No, it wasn't tuning fork.
She used a pendulum and she had so the way I would describe what I thought happened, I wasn't present with her, so we were on the phone. But the way I would describe it is similar to emotion code, where they have like a chart and that helps them to narrow down what's going on. And then they wind up getting a story based on that. And the thing that I took away from that, there was a lot to take away from it, but the thing that I took away from that was the most I think impactful and really understanding this concept you're talking about is one of them, she said, you know, okay, I'm testing and it's saying, you know, 5 or 6 generations back, your dad dealt with, I forgot what the word was, but some kind of emotion, right? Like some kind of not feeling good enough or something like that. I was like, yeah, okay, I could see that. Definitely on my dad's side, you know, definitely. And she goes on and we did different things like that. But she did one like that. And for some reason, whatever she said just triggered my memory of a real guttural, inexplainable response to a particular situation. I was teaching and I was doing training. I was actually teaching art. So, you know, that's a different kind of training than regular core classes and so forth. And the department head was actually telling all of the visual arts people in the county that we needed to convince all of our stakeholders, which means all the parents, that art was important. And she was saying it very eloquently and nicely. And it's not that I disagree with any of that. I do believe that art is really good for society. It's really good for humans, and it's especially good for kids. But I definitely had this gut reaction to, like, it is not my responsibility to convince everybody. And it's sad to say, but it was such a guttural reaction, and it was very contrary to my experience of being a teacher. You know, most people would kind of take that in and be like, well, that's just part of what you have to do. But that's not what my response was. And I'll be honest with you, that's when I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't share that. It wasn't realistic to do. And I stayed in it for many other years. But that kind of mentality for me didn't allow for you to really experience the art, because then you're worried about convincing other people. Right.
So, yeah, what you're describing is like such the who you really are piece, like to call that back, of the part of you that said, I can't do this anymore. That's who you really are. And what you loved was getting kind of, it was all convoluted. It was not even about the art anymore.
Right.
It was about the selling and like whatever agenda might go with that. But the reality and what I've even figured out recently in seeing the beauty in the art, it's your purest expression of emotion, of mental, of whatever you're feeling spiritually, even physically. It's like, it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to.
And we're okay with that. That's what's great about art, is that it's okay that it doesn't make
sense. And yet I feel like sometimes in the school sense, it still needs to make sense. Right.
Well, like with me, because I was totally like, I didn't care. Like, it doesn't make it matter. If it, you know, technique wise. Yeah, I would have helped him. But yeah, but there are people like that. And you're right. In the structure of the county system, it needed to make sense for the adults.
Exactly. So they still need to be sold in a more logical way. And that means you're already going to have to take art and move it into this more methodical system, which, again, it shouldn't be. And now you're actually losing the heart of what the intention was for art in the first place, because they're saying, nope, you need to shift over here. And here's what you need to do. And you need to go sell and promote and all these things where you're like, that's not what my heart wants to do. That's not who I really am. I'm out. Which is good for you, because that is the biggest piece for every single one of us on the planet. There is something we think we have to do, and our heart says you get to choose what you want to do. And that's where the battle is. More and more people are realizing, I get to choose this direction. It might not make sense. It might be unexpected. I might not know where I'm going. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it feels good. There's more joy there. Whereas the more we're just stuck in kind of that robotic AI way of doing life, we're losing the joy and it doesn't feel fun anymore.
And it doesn't wind up, I don't think you wind up getting what you want. And I think as adults, we wind up getting very clouded about, well, what do I want? You know, I mean, even for me, just a month ago, my husband asked me, well, what do you really want to do? And so this evolved, this is a huge energy shift. It evolved into, well, what do I really want to do? Meaning, I don't want to do everything I'm doing. So, you know, immediately I was like, well, there's two things I'm going to knock off. I definitely don't want to do those. Then I was like, well, I don't know how to really pick exactly what I want to do. And so it's actually taking a long time for me to get back into that mode of figuring out what is passion in that space.
Yeah. And I see that with clients. I see it everywhere. I know I've run your human design chart before, and you're a gut person, but you also have emotion. So here's the game. The game is, I don't know, right? Like you were looking up, like, I don't know what I want to do. And like, almost like you're looking to the clouds or the sky or like something out here is going to tell you, but it's here. You already know. And the gut tells you, your womb says, like, do I like this? Do I want to do this? And it's this quick knowing and then sitting with it emotionally, which is kind of the conflict, because there is a part of you that says, I don't like this, or I don't want to do it. But then the emotion says, well, let's just sit with it. How do I feel? And our emotional energy is such a superpower. Yeah. And I've said it more and more to clients because I can feel like if I really need to tap in and manifest, the emotion pours through me. That's my knowing. Like when I'm in an energy session, or like I said, watching these movies, I am crying because I know on such a deep level, like, this is real. This is true. This is my truth. And the emotions will guide you. Like if you're really upset because you don't want to go do this thing, but yet you're doing it, your emotions are basically showing you stop.
So don't do it. Okay. So in that biofield clearing, essentially what came out was, the reason I had that response was, and I want to touch on this, but then I want to go back to the emotion thing. The reason I had that response was because in another, so I had that response as she said to me, here's this story of another version of you. So another dimension, right? And she tells me this story and immediately this memory pops up for me. Well, why did I have this reaction? So in relation to the emotions, there, you know, the stuff that we push back, I mean, this is in every session I have with anybody. The stuff that we're avoiding is that's the place where we grow. So like this, you've got this hard part. And if you don't go in, sometimes it's confront it. Sometimes it's just embrace it. It's just like, you just have to deal with it. If you don't go and deal with it, you're not going to grow.
Right.
So how do you tell the difference between, okay, here's this thing that's bothering me for whatever reason. Do I go into it? Do I go towards that? Or do I steer away from that? Because that doesn't align with me.
So your head is always going to ask those questions, which means it's already not going to guide you in the right direction. It's like our ego lives there. And plus for energies, some of us may actually have our own head energy. You do not. You feel everybody else's head energy. So in this way, through human design, it's like I can see which chakras you have energetically, consistently for yourself, and which ones are you picking up from the world around you. So what this means for anyone who has these undefined head and ajnas, whose head are you in? Because what they're thinking is going to make you think that it's your thought, and it's not. And so if you're like, oh, I shouldn't do this. Well, how many conditioned people have you been around that already had a conditioned way of thinking that you're picking up and you're thinking I have to do the same thing? To me, this is why the movies are helpful, because there's something stirring in you that maybe it provokes some thoughts, but there's that deeper knowing. Mm-hmm. And the more you're connecting into this piece, and even if it feels scary, now you can ask yourself these more yes, no questions, because you're a generator type, to help you get more specifically, more minutely into what it is you want. So for example, if there's something really hard and do I want to do this? Uh-uh. Do I know I need to do this? Uh-huh. Does my higher self know this is for my highest path that I need to take this route? Uh-huh. But is there something stopping me? Uh-huh. And maybe like, do I know what that is? Uh-uh. Right? Is it of this lifetime? Is it from a past life? Is it from my ancestry? Is it karmic? You know what I mean? Like now you get to start really going deeper, more minutely into what is this piece? And I know for myself, and this isn't true for everyone, but it sounds like you would play with this too. The more that you already have access and some sort of awareness, and you're asking these right questions to get you to a certain space, when you're ready to receive, it shows itself. And just like you then could have that happen in your biofield session, and all of a sudden you have this memory, or you know what I mean? You started to already see it. You were able to like go through the wormhole and connect to that part, see what's really going on. Now you can have the choice. Do I want to heal this? Is this really something that I want to hold on to? Is it going to help me move forward? And suddenly it feels lesser. And then we can use other modalities to keep releasing, whether it is some sort of energy work or EFT or parts integration. It's like we're all whole, but we're all fragmented, and we're working to bring those fragmented pieces back into this whole place so that really there's no fear. There's no ego. Like you're just realizing that the God force energy of love is within you and you can tap into that, and everything else is just fabricated garbage trying to kick you in the wrong direction and make you think and be in your head and ask all these questions, because then you're not taking action. You're not aligning with what feels correct for you.
Well, all of that reminds me of, you know, when you're on this kind of path, everybody struggles with similar, like, whatever. We have issues. We have somebody come up who causes a conflict within ourselves or whatever.
Yeah.
So in the group, we have a group meeting that we meditate twice a week, right? We just basically hold each other accountable. We guide each other through that and so forth. And so we oftentimes talk about these things that are going on for some of us. And it is frustrating. Nobody's any different. Everybody's going through the same thing. But particularly when you have a very difficult experience with somebody, you know, the answer is always, they're there for you to grow, right? Okay, but as you were talking there, it was reminding me, you know, another phrase we often use is, your higher self called that in because you needed to grow in that way, right? Like, it doesn't matter what it is. So either you can turn towards what you need to grow from and have it be done and not experience that again, or you can continually fight it and blame everybody else, and you'll just keep having that.
Yeah, and as many lifetimes as needed.
But I'm kind of as this idea of a fragment of our soul is in another dimension, living another life, that is then affecting our life that we're seeing as, this is my one life, right? As we start to recognize that fragment of ourselves is affecting our experience here and now, that's the same thing as coming across somebody who, for whatever vibrational reason, you attracted this person that's giving you a problem. It's the same thing, but it's ourselves doing
it. And they're us.
Yes.
That's that oneness like we just can't get around. And I have to say that, it's been almost 2 months that I had gone to a retreat and got to be with this council and all these different people. And it's like, again, when you're in the human experience, you're just like, oh, cool, just a bunch of random strangers.
Yeah.
But when you're in the cosmic experience, you're like, okay, this is not random.
Yeah.
And no, suddenly everyone has some sort of karmic past. Uh-huh. And it was just fascinating because there was a gentleman that, like, he was very out there. He's Arcturian. Like, he is definitely as cosmic as can be. And it wasn't until almost like towards the end, like, I'm just me and just like wanting to be here filled with love and send love, whatever. There was a moment when he shared something like, oh, I finally, you know, figured it out. Like, you, and he taps me, and you, like, you guys have these Atlantean things you've got to heal. And that's what's triggering me. And I'm like,
oh,
whoa. Okay. Like, I didn't have any issue, but yet there was something there that he was like, I don't know what it is about this person. And it's like that. Yeah. You have this sense about someone. You're like, I don't like them, or there's something there. Mm-hmm. But when we're on this journey, we want to connect to it. We want to access it and not just be like, ugh, I can't stand this person. There's a reason. Either they're that reflection of you that you don't like of yourself, or that you've judged, or whatever, but that's exactly what we have to heal and draw that in and still love them, because they're reflecting, there's something for you to work on and to grow. And in that same retreat, it's like, I was with crystals, and there was a certain crystal that I was just so drawn to. And when I held, it was the immediate feeling of when I had my first child and I held her, and it was such pure love. And I just, like, being away from it more and more, I was like, there's something there. What is it? And I was so enamored with these crystals that it really drew me into the oneness that we're all seeking. Mm-hmm. That the crystal, I was so like, just, I love you. I love you. Like, you're so beautiful. And yet then it was that reflection to realize, wait a minute, I'm talking to myself. Like, I should see this in myself. I should see this in you. Right? You're the crystal as much as I'm the crystal, and we're all the crystal. But yet we don't do that as humans. And then to go even deeper, it's like, then I've recognized, and the awareness is drawn in, that that crystal is something I have created in a past life. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I can instantly connect to it, feel its healing energy, and bringing it into sessions, yeah. You know? So it's all of these pieces, whether it comes to you through the reflection of someone else in your life, someone who passes by, who's been there a while, whether you even see it in the movie, right? Every aspect of every part of life is you, mm-hmm. and you've been this. And that's what I've just had to realize is watching movies. Sometimes it's like, you know, they paint the villain and the hero. Mm-hmm. And I can look at it and go, oh, I've been you. Oh, I've been you too. I've been that character. Ooh. Yeah. And then suddenly you have this compassion to realize there was nothing evil, bad, wrong, good, right, whatever about either side. Right. It's all just the polarity to help the other shift in the right direction, to heal, to learn, to grow. And to me, that's what the fragmentation of all of life has done, is to bring us back to this place where we start to reconnect and feel the wholeness. And we've lived all the experiences.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, I think that's a very, it's a very articulated explanation of what I think a lot of people refer to as enlightenment, is when you recognize that we are all one, that, like you said, you were the crystal. It's not like you only can come in a human form, or you're only this kind of person, or anything like that. And then once you recognize that, when you really recognize that on an energetic, physical, everything plane, then your response to the world is entirely different, because it's like, oh, I still love myself, right? So that means I still love everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. I love you. And right, even if it feels like somebody is doing something and we almost want to take it personal. And it's like going back to that Toltec wisdom of like, don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard, because if I say something really derogatory and directed at you, I say your name, there is that part of you that like, you can't help that. But when we're in the space of, oh, you're showing me right now, yeah. I've done some evolution work. I actually, thank you for sharing. And I still love you. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah. that when we can hit that moment of, wow, I can feel this. And yet I can also protect myself. And I also know that the love from in here is just going to radiate to you. And you're showing me in this moment that I've learned to stay in a place of love, even when you're being so hurtful. Right. And that's the crazy part, because then our brains go to, well, if someone murders someone right in front of you, are you still going to love them in that moment? And are you, you know, because we have these experiences to basically test, how are we going to react? And with you talking about that part as the art teacher, and it wasn't your responsibility, right? Response ability. It's our ability to respond in a certain way, or can we come from a place of love? Can we do this? And sometimes you don't need to respond, and we don't need to take that on as our thing that we've deemed as being responsible. And, you know, so I don't know. I have fun kind of like seeing even language a little differently,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Seeing like how everyone can twist things mm-hmm. and try and manipulate or make you feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And sure, maybe in the past that stuff could really hurt, and then we would say yes and do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. And then follow the path we really didn't want. But when we come from this place of loving ourselves and knowing ourselves and realizing, this doesn't feel good anymore, goodbye, and yeah. move in this new direction, it doesn't have to be so scary. It can be really exciting and filled with more love and joy and fun and all the things that we think we want, but we don't even know what that looks like or feels like.
So I'm going to ask you, because I know you help people do this, but I'm going to ask you. So if I was thinking back to the time when I was the teacher and experiencing that, I had been in teaching a couple of years, probably like 4, I think. And I think I wound up teaching more than 9, less than 10, maybe about 10. I don't know, something like that total. And I did do it all at one time. So it's not like I taught and then I did something else and I taught again. You know, a huge part of what we experience, which I think makes it more difficult, is what a lot of people, and I am one of them, refer to this experience in the 3D world, meaning I'm married to this man who blah, blah, blah. I live in this place that says, you know, this is the way things are. And it is very hard to get out of, especially when you're immersed in a culture, to kind of get out of the same kind of thinking that is pervasive in that area. So what would you say to somebody who maybe they've had their own trigger about this thing they realize they don't want to do, but it's a huge part of their 3D life? Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe tell us a little bit about how you help them, because this is what you do, correct? Okay.
Yeah. I love to help navigate the energies.
Yeah.
So the energies beneath everything. So let's like get into the depths of the ocean. Let's figure out what's in there, but also where's the current really pulling you? Mm-hmm. And when we're above, sure, we can feel where the waves want to take us and what's going on, but that's not the heart of the life, what's moving.
Right. Yeah.
So the human design is such a great tool for just sharing the mechanics and the discernment of energy. What's yours? Yeah. And what's not yours, in the sense that you really are intuitive and can feel it. If there's a part of you that knows this isn't what I want anymore, then there's another part of you that thinks I do want this. And so now it's reconciling. And whether it is like integrating these parts to see where maybe one side had more power and now you're flipping it, you're flipping the story, you're flipping everything. Like mom and dad told you, you have to get a job and go to school and get married and live the life. And you're like, great, I did it. Check, check. And now there's some fulfillment piece that's missing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my clients are in the 3D world, because what I've realized is I'm that bridge to more of the spiritual aspects of themselves. Mm-hmm. To start to realize beneath the ocean, beneath the money and the bills and all the stuff, it's like, who are you really? And what is it that you're here to bring? So there's a blessing in everything. So it doesn't matter if like you're looking back and you're like, yep, I was this teacher for 10 years. The 3D human part of us says, oh, that was such a waste. Why did I do that? You know, like I wasted a part of my life. Absolutely not. It was the experience you were after. So what did you learn in that experience that propelled you forward to be where you are, which is exactly where you never thought you would have been as that artist teacher?
Oh yeah, totally.
And it's the same thing.
I think I would use this. I never even thought about that. Honestly, I had the thought. I didn't tell anybody because I wasn't going to tell anybody. I don't want to do this job because they said this one little, frankly, insignificant thing, right? I wasn't going to say that. I had kids. I was married. You know, like we needed what I was doing.
Right.
I wasn't, mm-hmm. But it wasn't until even just, oh, well, it was not until I had that biofield clearing or whatever that method was. It wasn't until that came up that I was like, oh, maybe that's why I had such a guttural response to that. Like, didn't make any logical sense. That's why I didn't tell anybody.
And so this, that was your first moment in time when you listened from within. You didn't know you were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
You also knew something shifted and it was so minute, right? But something awakened in you to be like, mm-mm, we're done. We can't do this anymore. More and more people are hitting that space. And what stops us is the paycheck, mm-hmm. money, and the responsibility that we have created in our life. But when we are constantly evolving beings, why are we going to stay in the same thing, doing the same thing over and over and over? It really is baffling and kind of like, oh, that doesn't make sense. But if you think of go to school for one career, go get a job and you're supposed to stay in that. No one does. Go get married and that changes too. It's like everything evolves. Even having a child, you know, it's constantly evolves from this infant that can't talk or do anything to they have to leave the house and go get an education or their own job and start their own family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every single thing is a blessing because it's teaching you who you are and who you weren't. And really, I kind of feel like the things people tell you you're not years ago is exactly who you are. And now you're like, oh, that's the polarity. Like I had to go this way so that I could then boom, like shift into this other direction.
Yeah.
So for me, it's I give permission, I guess, and insight and can explain things of like why this is happening, what's going on, and for them to connect and feel it. Really know their truth. And at the end of the day, I tell my clients, I'm not your savior. You're doing the work. It's you realizing through me, through you, however you want to see this, that you're going to start knowing how to recognize this inside. You don't need me. Right. And as the world keeps changing and it's going to get even more accelerated and very evolutionary in ways that our 3D logical selves won't understand, but your soul will be so excited for. And you're starting to listen to that part, and it will help guide you through the chaos, the turmoil, the however you want to envision it. But for some of us, it could be like, ooh, I really do feel like I'm in Star Wars and I don't know what's going to happen. And today we're going to go here and tomorrow, you know, and some people are like, but I just wanted to stay in my house mm-hmm. and have everything that I needed and never have to leave. But then your soul isn't evolving. So yeah. That's the deeper part is I want you to find your own truth, find your own clarity. When I do my energy sessions, they're always completely quantum, like remote, no call, no Zoom. And what I've realized is it's partly my experiment as it is yours, but it's also deeply your own influence through your higher self that you get to experience. You're not going to hear my words. You're not going to know what I'm doing. And all of my group sessions are, I'm going to work on you in this hour. Here's the theme. Here maybe is what you can do. Here's music to listen to. And then I get to start connecting to myself and my knowing of like, ooh, I am going to go to this past life and ooh, I've accessed that we can do this skill. Let's do it right here and now and bring it into the session. And before my clients even get notes or a transmission of the session, some of them are right there. And they're like, oh my gosh, today I could feel this and I had this part and this part. And I was like, oh my gosh, we did do parts integration. They didn't know that, but they do know that. And they're able to start tapping into this knowing in ways that we don't understand as 3D beings. But cosmically,
that's really interesting. Infinitely. That's amazing. So as I'm doing this dream interpretation course, you know, like you do a new therapy and they, you know, essentially what they say is once you start a therapy, your dreams should change. Cause if they're not changing, it's not working. And so we had a big shift, everybody, they were doing some energy clearing and we had a big shift and I didn't have dreams that I recalled for a couple nights. And then one night I had a lot of dreams and I actually was able to get up and write them down. And one of them I had, We'll just set the premise to just in case nobody knows or anybody doesn't know. Everything in your dream is you. So even if it presents as another person, it's still you. But I had this friend of mine from college who I played volleyball with in the dream. It was actually her daughter, but for some reason I thought it was her. You know, it's a dream. It's weird. And there was this part where she was holding a baby and then like she was squatting like she was about to pee. Okay. And, you know, I'm looking at dream interpretation. I'm going to get it finally. Like I'm going to get other people to look at it too. And I have an idea of what it means. But what was really weird about it was usually I'll get up in the morning and I'll get partially ready. I'll eat breakfast and then I go back to work. And when I go back to work, then I pick up my phone. I don't pick up my phone again after I get up out of bed. And then I looked at the phone and there's like 11 messages from the teammates. And this person who was in my dream actually message because she was asking about, have any of you guys had bladder spasms? Because I've had these bladder spasms and they're horrible. So I thought that was just really weird.
That you were already telling yourself what's coming.
Yeah.
You were seeing it. I love it.
Yeah, but even in the dream, it is amazing.
And this is what our mind can't handle because it wants to make sense of it. So if you're dreaming, have fun, right? And if we're in this quantum field space of like anything is possible and suddenly we are accessing consciousness and accessing whether you want to say like the future or the past or these other aspects, it's like you're drawing it in right now saying, I know that everything's an outlier. It's all out here, but yet it's right here. And can I actually trust this without thinking I'm crazy and thinking I can't tell anyone because they're going to think I'm crazy.
Right. You know, but that's all the judgment coming from outside. That's not really who you are.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Send inquiries, suggestions for new discussion topics and comments to podcast@happylioncenter.com. That's podcast@happylioncenter.com. If you found this content enjoyable or helpful, please comment, like, share, and download. Donations are appreciated and help us to produce more of similar content. Consider making a contribution at the links in the description box. Your support is greatly appreciated. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Happy Lion Center and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. None of the content provided should be considered a substitute for legal, financial, medical, psychiatric advice, or as care from a certified professional.